Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast. This is our, we're stretching into the off season. I want to know how you guys felt, how your energy levels, because you know you got to monitor that. February's tricky. I think it's hard to manage because when do most people sort of let off the gas a little bit, right? Most people let off the gas like holidays, right? And we don't get to do that, really. College football doesn't get to do that. Because the holiday, it's a working holiday. And you go someplace like, I don't know, you could list a number of the wonderful environs that the sport inhabits from time to time. Like Shreveport,
always
first in mind. Boise?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's another one.
The ghost of San Diego.
Whatever San Diego is. Whatever. It's whatever you want it to be. It's except, like Diet
except,
Coke.
Except a pro football town. It's not that.
It's definitely... You know what? San Diego State heard you say that. And they're very, very disappointed.
Listen, if San Diego State could move to LA, they fucking would.
Just the Aztec mascot with his feathered headdress getting into a moving van. I'm out of here, bro.
If you out there, if you are a San Diego State fan who is offended by what Spencer just said, please tweet at Spencer about it.
You'll have to tweet at me because you're not driving over. You know, I'm so mad I'll go down I-10.
I just want to see something. See how many San Diego State folks we got. I'm gonna guess three.
Yeah, but you don't get to take a break. And now it's like, you know, coming up on mid-February. Kind of eased through a little bit. We just got through signing day, correct?
Yeah, if you say so. Yeah, as a Florida fan, I don't concern myself with these things.
We did okay. That's always my answer for signing day. If it's not a clear like number one with a bullet class, I'm like, we filled our needs.
Listen, you may be totally right, but I still don't concern myself with these things.
That's fine. Just I'm telling you the pat answer to give because somebody's going to go, oh, you're an expert. I should ask you about it. You should go, I think we did all right.
It's fine. But Florida and Tennessee, they both had terrible fucking seasons last year. So caring about this signing day seems like absurd to me. Your house just burnt down and somebody's like, ooh, yeah, looks like you're on napkin duty at next year's 4th of July mixer. Who gives a shit? That's forever from now. I'm worried about the house. The one that's burned down.
You got $100,000 in medical debt, and here you are getting excited about pretzels or BOGO at the grocery store.
Ooh, I found a $20 bill in my jacket. Tennessee only found $10. My liver doesn't fucking work.
When Daddy McElwain falls asleep on the couch smoking again, those are the kind of things that happen.
That's why his teeth are that way.
I just keep, you know, watching film and falling asleep here. That's my
nicotine's a natural protectant for the tooth surface. Government doesn't want you to know that.
It forms a shield.
Forms a glistening protective casing. No, it's not attractive, but it works.
You know,
it forms an aura.
If it doesn't work, why haven't I been to the dentist in 18 years?
There is, I think there's some truth to that, by the way, that like, if you smoke, no, if you're of a certain genetic predisposition, and I don't know what that is, with no trend, all right, but there's just a certain type of person who, if they smoke cigarettes real hard for like 20, 30 years, they become this kind of indestructible, you know, wooden sort of god.
It's like a buff that they've acquired. It's some sort of weird video game tweak where it's like, oh, you got that power.
Yeah, and they don't get sick. Yeah, no, they don't get sick. One day at like 60, they just explode, right?
Your whole house smells terrible and all of your clothes, but you will never get the flu.
You will never get the flu. I had at least two relatives who fit this like John Wayne profile, right? Of like, everything's fine.
I've never even had an uncomfortable shit, son. I'm not stopping smoking. You're crazy.
I mean, they say whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger. That includes things you do to yourself.
It's the conversion to full. It's the full conversion to tumor. I think if your whole body is tumor, then you can't get cancer.
I mean, that's basically what Darth Vader is, right? Darth Vader's a smoker who just was like, "Nope, I'll never give it up." and then you know what? His shitty little earthy hippie son convinced him to give it up. What happened? He died.
Yep, right then and there.
He unhooked
the apparatus from his lungs that were giving him that sweet, sweet tar into his charred remains.
I just want to see somebody remake the original Star Wars trilogy where Darth Vader has a huge Marlboro logo on his cape the whole time.
Or I thought you were going to steal my bit on this, which is that you just Photoshop or digitally CGI, right? You just sort of put the effect in of him ripping off nasty huge vape clouds the entire time.
I mean, where do they put him when he goes to sleep? They put him in a big tank full of smoke. That's canon. Look it up, folks. When they take off his armor and he's just a little stump, they put him in a tank and leave him there to barbecue all night.
Hey, in every single scene where Darth Vader busts through a wall with some stormtroopers, what's the first thing that pours out?
Smoke. It's true.
That's right. Smoke. That's it.
It's like
sick babes.
It's like a 1998 Nate Dogg tour every time Vader steps in the room.
Do you want, by the way, I have a friend who works in the hotel business and another one who works kind of peripherally with some hip hop people. This is your thing that, unlike Ryan, I'm not an attorney, so I would not have thought of this brilliance, okay? But do you know where, like, rappers with weed or any musician with weed sleeps when they go to the nice hotel? They sleep on the bus. Why?
Because, if I had to guess, it's because it's easier to search a hotel room than it is a car.
Exactly. You put all your people and get them, they get rest up there. But anything you got contraband, you just set up a little area. It's way harder to get that search warrant for the bus,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Because like it falls under RV law. RV law is separate law.
And also, if they're coming on the bus, you can just say, "Oh, that's not mine."
Oh, Judge Madden will never sign this warrant. Boom! You got no probable cause.
So that means that, you know, when the shutdown full cast tour gets underway, right?
Oh God!
We got to get a tour bus, and we got to put up some stanchions so that it's a separate domicile that's only searchable and ruleable under the laws of the road.
I'm so excited for you to insist that you don't have to pay taxes when you're on the bus.
this is an international throughway. This is Route 74 through Kansas, son. Why are we in Kansas? We're a football podcast.
I'll have you know I have mineral rights underneath this bus wherever I park it.
Jason's just out there prospecting.
That's my parking lot now.
Guys, we've gone at least 10 minutes and we haven't talked about the murder robot dogs. How is that possible?
Murder robot, Boston Dynamics. Do you doubt the hellmouth spitting out the robot demons of tomorrow that resides somewhere in Boston?
I am so here for the murder. Everybody's on Twitter. Oh no, here comes the end. Boston Dynamics done did it. Skynet's... No, man. This is fucking great. Yes, I concede that the murder robot dogs will be the downfall of all that we have built and everyone that we love. But you know what? It was all going to shit anyway. And murder robot dogs, they don't discriminate on the basis of sexual orientation or religion or gender or age or economic background. They just fucking chew through you with their robotic dog mouths, which they don't have, but they will have. That will happen. Just accept it now. It's fine. It's totally... If we have to go, I would much rather leave this planet to a murderous horde of robot dogs. If aliens come to Earth now, what's the most impressive thing we can show them?
The most impressive thing that we can show them is the Nintendo Switch.
There's a big-ass gas station about halfway between New Mexico and Oklahoma. That's like a city.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. We can show them a Buc-ee's. I put that up against anything. Yeah, like a Buc-ee's with, like, the Buc-ee's in, like, the Buc-ee's on I-10 between San Antonio and El Paso that has a urinal for every single gas pump, and there's, like, 80 gas pumps at this Buc-ee's because it's, like, it's basically like the gas factory in any Mad Max movie, right? This is where everybody's going to go, is to this Buc-ee's, right?
Yeah. So,
we can show them that.
So, and this is, we're talking about 1,200 years since the Dark Ages. That's the best we've come up with. Give the fucking robot dogs 15 years and they will blow these aliens' minds. They will build something so amazing and so unstoppable that the aliens will be like, whatever was here before sucked.
And they'd be right. So, I mean, the thing with the robot dogs is, they're, you know, it's true what they say. There's no such thing as a bad dog, only bad owners. And who owns the robot dog? People. So, how are you going to blame the robot dog?
I don't know why everybody's terrified of this robot dog when Boston Dynamics' most terrifying creature has been playing quarterback in Foxborough for the past, like, what, 18 years?
It's true. These robot dogs, they also don't eat hardly any human food.
Teach the robot that nightshades are bad. Have the robot say, I'm just a positive person when you ask about anything.
So this is how we defeat the robot dogs. We have them sleep under normal blankets.
That's it. They're overheated and they had a mushroom.
You bean it with a strawberry.
I ate a piece of cornbread. Now I have sunburn.
We have the robot dogs play the Philadelphia Eagles. What happened?
Piling up the most meaningless yards you've ever seen.
100% the robot dogs are Eagles fans. 100%. Okay?
I don't know. Listen. That town doesn't like robots.
Yeah, that's true. The robot dogs are coming for their boy.
Hold on. The robot dogs don't wear pants, are super proud when they can stand up long enough to open a door, and are predicted to be the destruction of all humankind. That's Philly!
Can I rephrase this for you?
Yes.
Okay. Robot dogs, flummoxed by ice and snow. We've seen footage of this, right?
Okay, yeah.
They can take a kick, though, but they'll wobble a little bit as if drunk.
Right.
Take about 30 seconds to get through a door, and it takes two of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Let's see. You can pour any amount of alcohol into them, and they'll just keep going, right? How are these not Wisconsin fans? Well, no, the Wisconsin fans, the ice and snow, they'd be okay.
Yeah, the ice and snow is the problem.
So we convert. These are LSU fans, right?
Yeah.
Terrifying. Probably speak a code that we don't really understand, right?
Can't throw and don't care.
All ground game, baby. All ground game. Terrifying.
All they do is go chase the ball once it's already hit the ground.
That's right. Created in a lab. Right? You can't spell lab without la, as in Louisiana. So there. I'm convinced that, yeah, the Boston Dynamics robot dogs, they're actually LSU fans. There, we decided it.
See? Not so scary now. Well, kind of. Still.
It's actually much worse. Oh, God, no, the dogs learned how to make a roux.
Don't tell the dog.
The robot LSU fans.
Don't tell the dogs how we did on signing day. This is my favorite thing with LSU fans, is that they were like, had a top 15 recruiting class, and they're like, God damn it. Half of all LSU fans, by the way, have already fired Ed Orgeron in their head. It's done.
Yep.
It's done. They're already there. Like, number 14 ranked recruiting class? Oh, man. So you think Jimbo will come? Do you think we could pay him $22 million a year? Think we could, you know, shake a couple of natural gas refineries loose and see if that change will come out? 22 mil?
Honestly, if there's a Jimbo Fisher impersonator out there, you could probably make $9 million a year if you take the Florida State, the LSU job.
So Louisiana is going to sell a couple of private prisons to raise the money to pay any NASCAR driver to come impersonate Jimbo.
Well, they'll rent them for children's parties and such.
That's, yeah, which,
I mean,
again,
number 15, that's quite below their standards.
It is below their standards. I get that. I just enjoy that, like, this isn't a blip. This isn't anything. They're just like, oh, you know, Ed, it's been nice. It's been good. Cousin, love you. Love you so much. get in this boat. Get in this boat. Don't ask why. Just get in this boat.
This is where you get drunk, you way overcompensate, you pay John Fox like $35 million. Just do it. God. He's taking multiple teams to the Super Bowl. Did he win? That's not important. You won't play in the Super Bowl.
So you don't have to worry about that part. Yeah.
Problem solved.
Just go get Sean Payton.
No.
He's nearby.
No.
Sean. Oh man.
I want you to imagine the mixed feelings when Saints fans are like, oh, Sean Payton's leaving. Ah, you know what? It's for the best. He did a lot of good things for the team, but we kind of feel like he'd reach the ceiling. And he took the LSU. God damn it! God damn it! We'll never be free of him.
Oh, man, that...
I mean, there is one way to be free of him. Ban pills.
Oh. Please send any and all inquiries to our counsel. The man who just made that comment.
Bud Elliott.
Bud Elliott. That's right. Who's Bud Elliott, please. This is one thing that I also found today that I have to discuss with you. This is a quiz I want to ask everybody, okay? Because you're familiar with the television series, not the two movies, including one done by Edward Norton. It definitely didn't help ruin the franchise. The Incredible Hulk. You're familiar with the concept of the old show, right? Bill Bixby. Right. Something would happen in an episode as he drifted from one version of Hellworld to the next, trying to help people, turning green and smashing shit and having to move to the next town.
It was really a show all about how important it is to own a car.
Yes. That's all it was. No, like, very few of the things that turned him into the Hulk would have happened if he had just had a car. Damn it, Carter. You had to put this country in the shitter. Make the Incredible Hulk explode all over the place. I blame Georgia Tech. Right, anyway,
why do you bring up the Incredible Hulk?
So what I wanted to ask you was, I'm going to give you a quiz, okay? Because this is fascinating to me. And you have to tell me whether these are real or fake reasons that the Hulk hulked out in the original Incredible Hulk series.
Oh my God, we're so off-season, it fucking hurts.
Yeah, I mean, we do have football content. It's coming if you want it, but this is better. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you.
You got to earn it. Oh, hey, why'd you do that Olympic show that sounded good? Well, this is what you get instead, fucks.
So I'm going to give you a reason, and you have to tell me whether it's real or it's fake. I'm probably going to do like 6 or 7 of them, get carried away, and maybe get to 8.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
All right, so being punched out.
That seems real.
Yeah, that sounds pretty real.
Okay. Receiving a lethal injection and then having the person say, "Oh, I just gave you a lethal injection. Sorry, David."
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you just did the first part, I might have said fake, but I'll go real on that.
Being pushed down, we'll go through these at the end. Being pushed down a mountainside by a Bigfoot impersonator.
real.
So this TV show was like 78 to 83 or something like that?
That sounds right. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, I'll take yes on that one.
Dealing with a pesky operator in a phone booth. Actual quote from the episode. I don't have 25 cents, unquote. Is that real or fake?
I mean,
that's got to be real.
Yeah.
Yelled at by a mean cop.
Fake.
I'm just going to go real on all.
Okay.
Please envision this one for me, okay? Somehow locking himself in an old dark basement and then nearly electrocuting himself. Think of how stupid.
I mean, that's got to be fake because Dave Banner's too smart to do that.
No, that's real.
Kicking over a beehive and then being surprised when the bees are mad at him.
See, this is dumb. What kind of David Banner doesn't know what bees are? Fake.
Locked in a drunk tank with a crazy person who insists he is Ernest Hemingway.
Real.
And then beats the crap out of Dave.
Real.
Yeah, that's real.
Mm-hmm. All right, about three or four more. Somehow getting... We're at like 13. That's fine. Being rear-ended 15 times in a row by a mean bully with a bigger car than his.
You know, it's just...
It wouldn't take 15.
It's just good because podcasts are, you know, a way to reach a young audience that fucking loves the original Incredible Hulk television show.
The kids need to know that the past was crap, okay? They need to know.
Yep.
Spencer's giving them a BuzzFeed quiz. So.
That one's fake. That one's fake.
It would take like 2, not 15.
Being beaten up by the rag trade mob and having his arm placed in a press iron.
Yes. Real.
That sounds too specific to be fake. I don't know what most of those things are.
Okay. And then this is the last one and my favorite. Bringing it back to LSU so we're not totally off the rails. Being thrown under a New Orleans Mardi Gras parade float by a mean guy in a gorilla suit who gives Dave a few kicks for good measure.
Whoo! Real.
I'll go fake, I guess.
All of these are real. Every single one of these is real. There's one where he gets blinded somehow, and he stumbles into a minefield. Just wanders into an actual live minefield somewhere in California. Because that'll happen.
So in the 70s, David Banner was like Wile E. Coyote.
Basically.
But just minding his own fucking business. Like, the whole premise of Wile E. Coyote is that he's fucking with the Roadrunner. Most of these scenarios, he's just doing normal shit.
No, like, some of these are like a row of computers falls on him. A lot of these sound like ways that a Sim would die, right? If you didn't teach it how to do shit.
Stuck in a pool with no ladder.
Yeah, no.
I think stuck between four sofas.
I know. An old woman won't give him birthday cake.
Standing in a room with no bed, die of sleep deprivation.
David pees himself at dinner for no reason.
So mad.
Stuck on the second floor.
See, that's an Incredible Hulk I can believe in. Not one who's like, I'm mad and I've got the rage of my father because I'm an Oedipal figure. No. The one I get is like, I was opening malt liquor and cut my hand on the aluminum ring.
Oh, these chips are mostly air.
Toddler headbutted me.
How was he ever calm? How is anything ever okay?
Stumbles into bee's nest.
What are bees? I don't know what bees are.
God, what are we talking about? No, oh, we had a fuck. This is probably a good point to say what this episode is.
Listen, if you nail this segue, give this man a Peabody.
I don't even think he's attempting it.
No, we're just gonna jump right out of this. This car is hurtling off the mountain, and I'm just getting out. Bye, Spencer. I love you.
Yeah, it's been good.
I'll miss you.
That was the end of our third segment, brought to you by sponsor. Now it's time for the fourth segment.
You know, I mean, we can. This is probably a good point. So yeah, people got frustrated that last week there was a bonus episode of the full cast, which was not the full cast because we weren't on it, and it was organized and it was topical and it sounded nice and it suggested effort and intention, and it was on topic. It was all the things the show is not. To apologize for that, here's a promo for a show from our friends at Vox.com.
I'm Sean Ramisvirum. I'm the host of Today Explained, a new show from Vox. It's an all-killer, no-filler daily news explainer that'll drop every afternoon.
But not on the weekend.
Our show's gonna explain the news every way we know how. Clips, radio drama, maybe even a song.
Today,
Today Explained.
Subscribe now in Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Because listen, the only thing you should know about this show at this point, if you've been listening to this show this long, you know that we don't care about you, and we don't care about us.
So it's fair. It's fair.
It's more than fair. We're the ones who do the show. That's how little we care about us.
Yeah, on the alignment, chaotic neutral. That's what we are. Chaotic neutral.
And we will look forward to the promotion of this program by all of Vox's podcasts.
It's going to be good. God, I'm going to record something terrible for them. Yeah. We're just going to combine our worst moments. It's fine. But this is, finally, without further ado, I know people were thinking, like, signing day came and went. The shutdown forecast had nothing to say. What the hell? Bruh. We're so many levels ahead of 2018 signing day, okay? You know who doesn't care about 2018 signing day anymore? Coaches. They've moved
on.
That's
right.
Where are we, Jason? Where are we laser focused on already?
Well, we're racing past 2019, the 2019 signing class. Georgia's already locked up number one. Got 3 5 stars already. Miami's already nailed down number two. BYU is in at number 9 for 2019. That'll hold.
Agreed.
Of course, those players will be like 38 years old, but Bama's down to number 10. Two straight weak years.
Rutgers is ahead of Ohio State. There's no reason to think that will change and that Urban Meyer has any reason to stay. All of these things, yeah, they're all locks. All 100% locks. Don't even bother looking. 2019 recruiting rankings will not change from today.
2019 recruiting rankings, done. We can skip ahead to 2020, where if you look on 24/7, you discover that FAU has a secret commit. You click on FAU's lists. Oh, wait, there he shows up now. Brandon McDuffie, FAU commit.
Quarterback out of Miami. Got a mystery unveiled in just the last 30 minutes. Wow.
Look at that. We're breaking news. Tennessee's got 2 commits. Neither of them got stars. No, wait. They're invisible. Tennessee's 2020 commits. That's on brand. You go to the 2020 rankings. You click on Tennessee. It says 2 commits. You click on Tennessee. It says no results found.
God, that'd be some Butch Jones shit. Wouldn't it be like, this year's recruiting class, we're not announcing names. We're not sending in names at all because we're a unit. Be like, coach, that means none of the letters of intent are valid if you don't. They're not putting their names on it. All right.
I'm going to sign any 25 people who want to be on this football team.
I'm sorry. You sent me your letter of intent and I put the team down in the signature block. And that's fine.
I don't
fine.
Even need players. I just need the concentrated power of will like the song.
I've changed it to a name like a stormtrooper because that's our theme for this year. Stormtroopers. TM205. Get over here.
My favorite thing about early recruiting rankings is Miami always ranks really, really high. These days, under Mark Richt, they're a bit more likely to actually stay there in and around the top 10. But like for like 5 or 10 years in a row, if you look at their recruiting rankings more than 6 months out, you're going to see Miami in the top 10. And sure enough, 2019 number 2, 2020 number 1. They have basically as many commits as everybody else combined for 2020. I don't know. Miami just gets this shit done early. I guess they're surrounded by old people.
But then they just fall back, you know? They jump out of these huge leads, and what the hell happens? God, it's a metaphor. God, it's an apt metaphor.
It reminds you of some things. But, hey, we're not here to dwell on 2020. We got shit to do. You can go look at the 2021 rankings page at 24/7. No one has committed yet. No results. You can jump ahead to 2029. No results.
Typical millennials scared of commitment.
You can jump ahead to 2529. There is a page. If you type into the URL 2529, you can go to 3008, 9999. You can go back to 1776. 24/7's got it all prepared for you. Just in case somebody signs with America in 1776.
Give it time. Listen, nobody signed for 1974 yet. But you know what? If I'm an NCAA team, I say, well, count my recruits against that. I know when he graduated, but he's counting towards the class of 2028-35. 20, This one's counting against class of 1960. All right? Go look at 247. How many does it say we have? Zero. I get to use those spots. That's how this works.
That's smart. Yeah, I think that's what Dabo's doing. It's bringing in these classes of like 8 5 stars a year, so he's got all these spots left over. And then he's going to also cash in the 1936 signings that he didn't use. Just bring in like 100 people.
It does feel like Dabo is trying to get like a very specific Settlers of Catan achievement, right? Where he's like, oh, look, I have all the wool. Eat it.
I do enjoy, you know, when you talk about, you know, future recruiting classes, that the entire, we had a panic, right, about, oh, I don't know, Lane Kiffin just offered like a fetus. Is recruiting going to creep? Or is this too soon? Are we going to have people committing like 7 8 years early? That never happened. Never happened. Remember like David Clarkson? Like, oh man, we're going to offer David Clarkson. Even though he's 11. There was this like minor moment of panic about, oh man, it's going to be out of control. They're going to be recruiting 9 year olds. Nah.
Oh man, imagine that happening in like any other college sport except for football. That's inconceivable.
How about any other sport? Right? Like, that's how they felt. Like, how old was Lionel Messi when Barca got him? Right? Like, they helped pay for his, like, hormone treatments. That's how long they knew him. They knew him when they were like, yeah, you know, he's 8 and he's a little short. We can give him some hormone therapy.
But we can say he has acne, right? Yeah, oh, it's terrible acne. Yep.
Can we say that in Argentina? Okay, how about Spain? A little more lax there? Okay, get them to do that. Yeah, like other sports have like Hogwarts for their schools. They have like youth academies for this, right? That's why they're good at them. And you know who pays for them? The team. Wow, they actually give them a benefit. You're like, oh, well, the education's your the trade-off you get, right? That's how you get paid. Yeah, they're 8. It's a little different than when they're 18.
I feel like we're not that far away from that. I feel like somebody is going to, you know, you've put it out there into the universe. So now Michigan is going to be like, yeah, we're opening an elementary school in Miami. Weird, isn't it?
I mean, IMG? I know that's kind of broad.
So we're just waiting on some Stanford or something to buy IMG. Somebody with a lot of money. Vandy's just going to buy IMG.
I know. I was trying to think of the school that you don't want running a full K-12, right? And like Stanford,
Louisville, you know, Louisville.
What could go wrong with that? So Bobby Petrino is in charge of the curriculum. Okay, step one. That's step one. That's where we went wrong.
Okay, kids. Remember, after recess, please show the teacher that you're not wired. Thank you.
Oh man, they would have Papa John's for lunch every day.
Fuck lunch, man. Breakfast, dinner, birthdays, funerals.
I wouldn't trust Kansas either. I would not, because you'd be like, man, don't these kids ever play anything but basketball here at this football academy? Shh. Oh, we'll get around to it. Shh. We'll get there. It'll be fine. Also, we're out of funding.
I think if you've listened this long to this episode, you're getting the sense of how far away we are from football. What has happened in the past, we don't have any like leftover endorphins from that. We're so far away from anything in the future. And it can be hard to figure out what to cling to. But I come bearing something that will tide us over. Something to give us a sense of the idea that college football, while it may not be being played right now, still exists in some way. It's the Iowa City Police Log Twitter account. I have a few selections I'd like to read for you from February. And I'm going to read them as seriously as I can. Female screaming for someone named Dustin, not dressed properly. Two males broke into locked Jimmy John's restrooms. 4-door white Suburban took out bus stop after, quote, Tokyo drifting, end quote, up and down the neighborhood.
Sure.
Female screaming, yelling, saying crazy, threatening others running around metal bat. That's the whole thing it says.
She was the same lady who was looking for Dustin.
I know, it's the same lady in all these, man.
Oh, right, yeah.
All right, these go back to back, and they show you sort of the duality of man. Here's the good side from February 10th. Mail showed up at his door and is intoxicated, not causing a problem, can't find his way home. February 10th as well. Mail out of control at McDonald's.
Been there.
I mean, that could be me. That could be either of my sons. Yeah.
He's getting rambunctious at the McDonald's.
Who in America has not at one point been, as a man, the man out of control at McDonald's? Because I have. I know I have. Hmm.
Man, Iowa's never lost. Let's just put it out there. Iowa has never lost.
I mean, this is my rule, that the more organized and efficient a place is, then the more loose and off rails it gets when it decides to get loose and off rails, right? And that kind of works for Iowa, right? And mm-hmm. and for, you know, for Wisconsin, like, these are places that, you know, are otherwise like, you know, Midwestern nice and stuff works and it's all fine. And then when it comes time to get weird, it gets capital WEIRD real fast and real aggressive, like, right? Hmm. Like Madison? Yeah. Like Madison, if you follow that police blotter, it's incredible. You know what it is otherwise? Fine place to live. Lovely services, everything organized, well run. Just a well run, very together kind of place, right? Kind of place you want to take a family and make sure they get to bed by 9 p.m. and are in the house. Because if somebody decides to get weird, they get Scandinavian weird, burn down their house, wander into the forest, talk to the wolves for a while, maybe call one friend, maybe start a business with one of them. Has to be rescued and brought back to humanity. That's Wisconsin, y'all.